Welcome back to the Incomparable Game Show. I'm your host, Glenn Fleischman. This time around, we're playing the card game You Think You Know Me, created by Amy Bayo. Get your own copy at pinktigergames.com, and I'll have a link in the show notes. No, Amy did not sponsor this episode. I just like her games, and this one in particular is podcast-friendly in this adapted format. We have five fine panelists who've agreed to discuss or defend their personal thoughts, feelings, and ideas, I guess. That starts with Shelley Brisbane.
Hi, I'm Shelley. Who are you people?
Well, you'll find out soon enough because that includes Kathy Campbell. Hello, Kathy.
Hello, Glenn. I'm excited to learn more about myself and death on Ferris wheels.
You keep that attitude up like Erica Ensign will. Hello, Erica.
Hi, I was told to say something enjoyable, and I feel like the pressure is on already, so.
No, that's like saying to someone to smile. You can say anything you want. I'm sorry. Dan Morin is up next.
No matter what anyone tells you, I love pizza.
Reference acknowledged. And reference acknowledged himself, it's Tony Sinilar. Hello, nerd.
Hello, nerds. Reference acknowledged? Do I just...
Are you like creating a palindrome with Glenn? You've just reversed what he told
note
you?
Note to self, get a catchphrase.
It's good to be... Shelley, let me tell you, it is a prison from which there is no escape.
And even better, Tony has not been drafted as the involuntary scorekeeper on this game.
I love it!
I'll be keeping score as badly as possible. The score is simple. The points for each answer can be up to five so that I can deal with the sort of nuance and shading that might occur in the complexity of providing answers. Unlike some other games, this game does not require that you know facts, figures, words, anything. You can just say anything that comes into your head. You Think You Know Me is about players understanding other players. Each player, in turn, is given a statement and a person to which it may apply. That player then needs to reason out whether or not the statement is accurate about that person, sometimes with additional clues, which can include a blank spot. So, for instance, I pulled this card randomly from the box of 500 cards, and this person isn't playing in this game, but I think we know who this might apply to. I know if they made a doll in your likeness, it'd be called blank. So if David Lore were here, he might have many answers to that question. But that was random.org in my hand, I guess. So when playing the game in person, each player draws a hand of seven cards. I will be instead, since we are a podcast format, I'll be acting as the card box, which is a lot of fun to be a card box, let me tell you. And I'll read the statements and assign turns. So
for card box, you.
What's that?
Nothing.
Wow.
It's like Steve Lutz is here. So for each turn, I will pick a panelist and then tell them the person about whom they are defending or rejecting a statement. Does that make sense to everyone?
I think sometimes they're questions.
They might be questions.
Statements?
That may say, there's sort of something about the other person that you have to then discuss or know or kind of reason through. Or
like all the best game shows, let's just play, make it up as we go along.
Yeah, this is good.
Yeah.
I work painstakingly hard on my game show, Kathy.
I'm sorry, Dan. I'm sorry. You do a wonderful job. Inconceivable is one of my favorite hellscapes. So thank you for
I'm also listening to every word Kathy says because I've drafted her as a scorekeeper for my game show later. And so I'm learning.
If you're not the host, you're the scorekeeper. That's the incomparable rule.
That's right.
So we're going to start this round off. Round one. Possibly insert round one sound here. I don't know. I'll figure it out later. Dan Morin randomly is got as his target victim person Tony Sinilar, someone he's known most of his life.
Well, I don't know what you're saying, Glenn. We've never met before.
We've never met before. Just call him Tony S. So Dan, your statement is about Tony. I know you aren't an organ donor. Going in hot.
Does that imply currently? Like at this moment, has he donated an organ?
This is up for interpretation. I think an organ donor means that you've signed up to donate your organs, not that you have donated, because relatively few people, I believe, have donated organs.
Yeah. I mean, I know Tony pretty well, and I feel confident that he has not donated any of his organs yet. Something to look forward to.
Oh my god.
Hold on. Let me check.
I've got dibs on a kidney is my point.
Yeah. Did you wake up in a bathtub full of ice this morning, Tony?
I don't have a bathtub. I have a shower.
That's even worse. Don't wake up in a shower without your organs.
That's hard to fill up with ice.
Yeah,
I know he's not organ donor because I haven't gotten around to putting him in that bathtub full of ice yet. So really, that's my bonus. Knowing Tony as I do and knowing the kind of conscientious person that he is, I'm going to suspect that he is on his Massachusetts driver's license an organ donor.
Tony, are you in fact an organ donor?
I'm kind of panicking right now. I'm like, can I check my driver's license?
You're allowed to check your own data, yes.
Well, it's in another room, so I feel like that is not conducive to podcasting. I don't think I am, and I'm feeling very self-conscious and guilty about it.
We'll wait.
No, I mean, I think I don't think I am. I will just say in my defense, is this am I bad? Is everyone else an organ donor?
Well, I mean, is this pressing going to come up for anyone else?
Well, Dan. Yep. Dan had to speculate about me. Now I question Dan. Dan, are you an organ donor?
Well, I had to guess. Are you guessing? You're just asking me.
I am demanding an answer. I don't think this is part of the game show. I think this is just you and me, Dan.
All right. Here's my logic.
Answer the question.
I have logic on this.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
No. Yeah. Specifically for the reason I would guess that you were an organ donor is because I know you are a very regular blood donor.
I am a regular blood donor, which is let's be honest, much. Well, I guess I was going to say lower commitment.
I don't know about that.
This gets philosophical. Wow.
and thus, from that, I'm drawing that you are more conscientious than I am, who am not a regular blood donor and am also not an organ donor, I don't think.
I am now feeling like, okay, I think this message to the listeners, this is now a PSA. We're one question into So You Think You Know Me. Maybe this is a good time to think about whether you want to be an organ donor or not.
I'll provide forms at the end of this podcast for everyone to sign up.
I come from a family that has a deep distrust of organizations.
Organs.
And my mom, she will not like that I'm telling the story, but this is what this podcast is. My mom was always distrustful that if you signed up to be an organ donor, they'd be more likely to not save you in the emergency room, which
I
am 98% certain is not a thing.
No, it's not, but I've
once,
heard
once you hear that,
that,
it's real hard to unhear that, right?
I just feel like I need to state for the record that I am an organ donor, and I know this for a fact because I had to renew my license. Mm-hmm. And
I don't know if I
confirmed.
Am because I am donating my body to science, so I'm not sure if they take the organs first or not. So,
I think it depends.
Well, that's like the ultimate version.
Depends on
it,
how
right?
you die.
All your organs.
And,
yeah,
and
yes.
and
yeah,
it depends that's... on what who takes your body.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
Like grave robbers.
This has been much more interesting than I ever expected.
Final answer, not an organ donor, but now I feel real bad about it.
I'd like to say for the record that I'm an organ donor unless Dan or Tony needs a pancreas.
Oh, okay. That's a specific asterisk
on
your driver's license
specific.
There.
If you need a kidney, we can talk. But you know,
I happen to
since
own
you're not organ donors.
I happen to own 37 pipe organs. I don't know what to do with them. If anyone's got a suggestion.
Thanks, Dan. Way to keep it light.
Is both an organ donor and an Oregon donor, I think is part
yes,
of the,
yes. Yes. Mm. Nice.
While we're on the topic of replacements and organs, I had my ACL repaired several years back, and they give you the there's theoretically two ways they can do it. They either take your own hamstring or they could take a cadaver's ACL and replace your ACL with it. My ACL is my own hamstring, which means my hamstring's not as good, but I have to say I feel slightly better about that versus having a zombie ACL.
Why would you not want a zombie?
I think we're learning a lot about Kathy.
So disappointed
right now, too,
in you,
so.
Tony.
Apparently, Kathy, let me answer your ridiculous question with a medical answer. Apparently, the mileage on the zombie ACL is just not as good because, you know, an ACL is intended
used
to last approximately one lifetime. So when you try and get two lifetimes out of it, you know, it's just, it doesn't go. So
all right. Well, that was question one.
Question one. Glenn.
Yes.
Glenn, score check.
Zeros all around.
Dan gets 1 point for that because, no, actually two. I'm going to give two because, listen.
Wow.
Because he assumed that Tony was a great person and that Tony.
I didn't assume. I know. I know for a fact.
Well, you know, again, this is a claim. Let's perhaps move on to the next answer.
What's your favorite cookie?
The next questions. It's like, or do you like blue?
Probably, that'd be harder.
Okay, here we go. Tony Sindelar, Tony S., this is a question or statement for you to answer about Kathy.
Kathy. Kathy Campbell.
That's me.
And 5 inches tall. That's how tall her mom is.
Eventually, every game show is
reference
only going to be references. Tony, this is a statement about Kathy. I know if you wrote a book, it would be about blank. What would that blank
be? If only you'd gotten that one about me.
I might be filtering cards a little bit.
First off, I'm checking my brain. Has Kathy already written a book?
Because
that would be embarrassing if I got that wrong. If Kathy was to already have written a book, I mean, Kathy, first off, let's just talk about how great Kathy Campbell is. Kathy Campbell
anti-roast.
Kathy, you're deciding the points for this question,
yeah.
right?
No. Sure.
Kathy is exemplary across a range of things, which I could imagine Kathy writing a book about. Let me list some of them. TikTok. TikTok dances specifically, possibly about parenting, possibly about Wheel of Time, which I believe is also a book about books.
It's 73 books.
But I'm guessing if Kathy was going to write a book, it might be about her day job being a business unicorn and reaching, not being a business unicorn, but like how to leverage business unicornness, but for other small business owners on how to like, you know, be the best that they can be. I don't know. I mainly know Kathy not as a day job person, but as, you know, podcaster extraordinaire.
Tony, playing for brownie points, gives an exceptional answer. There are no brownie points.
That was mainly just a, can I talk aloud through this question in a way that would be acceptable for podcasting?
Is that what you're doing?
I tried.
Kathy, if you wrote a book, maybe if you have written a book, it would be about blank.
I'm going to give like full points for that because, yes, I have written a book. You can find it at theunicornsidekick.com.
There we go.
And it's about how to train your unicorn, which is how to have people help you in your business.
Ding, ding, ding.
I think you are exactly correct.
I apologize for not remembering for sure if it existed
in
this world.
Hey, you know what? It's all good because I don't talk about it nearly enough.
Well, there we go.
So that's on me.
We'll have to put that in the show notes. All right, 5 points. 5 points. Next up is Kathy answering or speaking about Shelley Brisbane. Ooh. I know one thing you always buy at the grocery store is blank. And not organ donations. That would not be the answer. That would not be the answer.
Oh my goodness.
I wish I had this one.
I bet you do, Erica.
Oh my goodness. I am...
This is obviously a promo for Shelley's upcoming game show about eating things.
Maybe.
Shelley Brisbane is absolutely incredible at many things. But especially incredible at creating and crafting cocktails. So I am going to say the general answer of alcohol.
That's just a good answer.
To make delicious cocktails.
That's great.
So here's the trouble. We specifically said grocery store, and I live in Texas, where you can't buy hard liquor in the grocery store. Now you can buy.
I assumed you could do everything in Texas.
No, because
that's like one of the only things, though, right?
You get a handgun in a grocery store?
You can buy a gun in a grocery store,
and you can buy cocktail ingredients. So I can buy vermouth and beer and wine and those sorts of things, but I can't buy
bitters.
Yes, you can buy bitters in the grocery store. That is a cocktail ingredient.
Just a bit.
So how accurate do you feel? Is that something you would always buy at the grocery
always
store?
Always buy. I mean, I don't know about always. Ingredients. Like all the time. Like,
how fast could you go through them?
Does anyone always buy one thing?
I do.
I have a bottle of bitters that I've probably had for 5 years.
You don't go through it fast, right?
I feel like some points are absolutely warranted.
I think this is like a 4 points because of the accuracy of your interest, even though Texas doesn't let you actually exercise that in a grocery store. I'm going to award 4 points.
I will tell you that walking through a grocery store in California for the first time down the liquor aisle was very jarring. I was just like, wait, why is this here?
Okay, so Erica is up next, and Erica needs to state an answer or something like that about Dan. And the statement is, I know if you were in a band, you'd want to be in the blank. The Dan band.
The blank? So it has to be a band that starts with the?
Well, I don't know. Yeah, it could be the, I suppose. But, oh, I'm sorry. As I read this again, I think it's you'd want to be the, like...
Oh, okay. So you said in the...
I'm sorry. As I read it, I think I misread it. I was thinking it was you'd want to be in the band, you know, ZZ Top or something, ZZ Top. But no, it's you would want to be. It means I think playing an instrument is probably the best way to interpret it.
Okay. Too bad you probably could have guessed the band.
I know. I was. Now I'm upset.
But you can get points for that too if you're.
Let's see.
What's the band Dan would want to be in?
Well, there's a couple I could choose from. I would probably say Blue Rodeo would be the one that I would say.
Oh, that's a good. That's
although nice. Guster was the first one to come into my mind.
That would have been correct, yes.
Wow, okay. Very good. Okay, ding, ding, ding.
I'm assuming those are both bands.
They are.
Oh, you sweet summer child.
I don't know.
I also was like, I'm pretty sure Guster's a thing, but that other one, that sounded made
They're
up.
They're a Somerville band, Tony. They formed in Somerville.
Guster's the only one I would have guessed at all. I was just
Blue Rodeo something?
It's Canadian.
That's a Canadian band.
Oh,
which
okay.
is why I would have chosen to say that one. Let's see, but that doesn't help me for instruments. Keyboardist? I'm just guessing.
Dan, what do you say?
So here's the thing. I would give some points for that because I actually the piano is pretty much the only instrument I actually play.
And that's why I said it.
Yeah. So I mean, I think that's worth like at least. Like 3 points.
So that was my logic. So I don't know if that's what you'd want to do, but like
my guess was Rock Band informed.
The reason that I logicked it that way is because I know that Dan is a person who will happily make a fool of himself in front of a lot of people if necessary, but probably would not choose to do that. And because keyboards, piano is a thing that he actually does kind of know how to do. That would probably be the thing that he would choose if all of a sudden it was like you're going on stage tonight, dude. That's my logic.
That's good logic. For the other guess, if you wanted to pick probably what I actually would think of off the top of my head, you should look closer to home.
Drummer?
Yeah, that would have been, because I play Rock Band, I play the drums. At like
Dan, that is not like playing the drums.
No. Let me put it this way. It's closer to it is like playing the drums than it is playing Rock Band guitar to playing
true.
The actual
that is
guitar.
True.
How
yep.
about that? Mm-hmm.
Back in the era of Rock Band, Dan lives in an apartment and would repeatedly get in trouble with his downstairs neighbor for playing the drums in Rock Band.
I also broke
on
my
Xbox.
Foot pedal because it was plastic.
Oh my god!
And I need to buy. Oh my I bought god. A
and you played too much
one
drums.
That was made out of metal.
This is great. Well, Tony gets shadow points for that too. I think Erica, I'm giving
you ghost points.
I'm going to give you 4 because of the band specificity and some agreement on the instrument, even though it wasn't the precise one. I think
Thank
that
you.
Is a lot of knowledge there. Oh my god. Well, here's a political one. I think we're going to skip in the interest of I don't think Republicans are blank. We'll
oh,
just
god,
move on
no.
from that.
Oh yeah, let's
I have a diplomatic answer if you did want to do that question though.
Nope.
But we can stop. We can skip.
I think we'll just so this is Shelley's turn. Shelley, this is your statement about Erica. I know you do or don't like ice skating.
Hmm.
And that leaves room for interpretation too, because it could be. Does that mean you one likes to?
Well, right, I'm going to give you an answer, and I'm going to tell you my logic for it, even without actually having correct knowledge. And I'm going to say Erica does like ice skating,
as required by Canadian law.
Right.
She soon will be.
My logic extends beyond that, but yes.
Yeah, I want to hear the logic.
Erica can't tell us what's on the test because that's illegal. So she took the test, but I'm assuming on the test it says, do you like ice skating? Yes, no. And if you say no, you immediately fail.
I enjoy that this entire game is basically rules lawyering.
Shelley has logic.
The logic is that Erica's partner plays hockey, and to play hockey you have to skate, and Erica presumably enjoys watching him play.
It's
you skate? Oh,
hockey. But is it ice skating?
It's solid.
I can't say no, I get bored watching him skate because that would be really mean.
And there's a chance he'll hear this. A very good chance.
And he's going to hear this.
With Steven's specific static.
No, it is fun to occasionally watch him play shinny, but it's freaking cold in those arenas, so I don't do it very often at all.
It's because of the ice.
So where are you on the ice skating, the like, don't like ice skating?
I cannot ice skate myself, but I do love watching people ice skate. Not just figure skating. Actually, watching people skate in hockey is one of my favorite things because I never realized until I started watching hockey how important the ability to skate well actually plays into the game itself. And, you know, people who can skate backwards, who can stop really fast, who can, like, you know, there's one major an NHL player who started as a figure skater, and he cool. is just super fun to watch.
That's great.
Yeah, so while I can't skate, I don't skate myself, and I think I would hate it if I tried. I like watching skating, so Glenn, do with that what you will.
I was going to say it's a clear five, but you said I would hate it.
I would. I would absolutely hate it. I have weak ankles, and I hate roller skating, so.
I think it's got to be a four, because you have a lot of love for it, but not engaging in it, and I think the question is ambiguous enough, so I think it's a four. So at the end of the first round, we've got Dan with two, Tony with five, and Kathy, Erica, and Shelley with four. So it's anyone's game, because we're all going to win somehow.
I enjoyed that those scores were not given in any right. particular order that I could tell.
No. As you know, none. Chaos Agent.
The order on Glenn's spreadsheet.
Yeah, and if you would have just done the last two people the other direction, we would have kept the pattern intact.
I know. Well, yeah. As I say, Chaos Agent. Wow, some of these questions are very real, and I would recommend only playing among very close friends after previous discussion. So I'm going to skip some of these as I go through.
Whoa. Does that mean we don't get to question Glenn about some things?
Let's. I like that.
That might be the bonus round at the end, but it's more like, I know your parents aren't still together. Now, I can understand the circumstances which they play, but Tony, if you do this as an intramural game at work, I would perhaps not use that question. Possibly. Yeah. Let's go. Okay, this is...
I mean, that's just a Facebook relationship status thing. That's not that big a deal.
So starting next round, we're going to go in the same order, but people are going to ask different people questions in the chaotic format that I've chosen. So Dan, you now get to discuss a thing about Kathy, and that is, I know one of your nicknames is blank.
Oh, well, I'm going to say I know one of her nicknames is Mrs. Soup. How about that? How do you like them apples?
Perfect. Yep.
All right. Ding. Wow, that was an easy five.
How'd you figure that out,
Dan? You know,
Dan?
It was a Campbell. I thought about Campbell, and I was like, what is Campbell associated with? And then I thought to myself,
Glenn?
Scotland. But then I thought to myself, Glenn. Soup, and it was just downhill from there.
Brilliant.
It's Tony's turn to answer a question about Dan or defend a statement. And the statement is, Tony, Tony, when you're thinking of Dan, you would say, I know you prefer cotton candy or popcorn. It's between those two.
First off, I think it's unfair that Dan and I have gotten paired up again, but which I'll say to jinx myself. Dan, I think Dan likes both of them.
Oh.
I have been to the movies with Dan. Dan has eaten popcorn. Dan was aghast that until recently I had never had cotton candy and had some we discussed this. This was discussed on a podcast. Dan's reaction to that was to have cotton candy shipped to my house, which I then had to open and eat on a podcast that was on.
Nice.
Dog and Pony Show, Curse of Strahd, Total Party Kill episode, Erica, maybe not edited yet.
I can only take partial credit for that. I provided the location, but Micah Sargent was responsible for the main impetus.
Amazing.
Dan gave away my address. Micah bought the cotton candy.
Yeah.
I think Dan is pro both of them, so it's tricky to say which one he is more. I'm going to take a stab in the dark and say cotton candy.
Because he shipped you a box of it, perhaps?
Well, he was involved in shipping a box of it. I mean, he's pretty pro popcorn, so it's like,
I mean, it's politically speaking.
Yeah, I'm gonna say cotton candy.
Popcorn party audience.
I think he's pro both of them.
Dan, if called upon to choose between them, which is your top pick?
I think I would have to pick popcorn, actually.
Okay.
Mainly because it's like at least moderately healthy, whereas cotton candy has no nutritional value, basically.
Dan, let's talk about the context of this situation.
Sure.
Hold on. Let's talk about context here.
Hypothetical.
How good is it for your organs?
You might be thinking, I'm at the movie theater. Of course, I'm going to have cotton candy. What? Instead, let's imagine you're at the Tri-County Fair, and I have a gun pointed at you and a sign that says, if you don't eat cotton candy, Tony won't get points.
What's the gun for?
Why would he get cotton candy at a movie theater? That's the other question.
Yeah, that seems like the worst place to eat.
I was going to say, this whole scenario is just not comfortable.
It's weird.
Spiraling out of control.
Weird. All
right. Tony's getting 0 points for this round.
I'm highly caffeinated.
This is like Jordan Peele invented a weird scenario of
Okay, Tony gets 0 points, but I have real-time update direct from Tony. Tony is now an organ donor.
We're so proud of you.
So does Dan get an extra point now?
I don't know. I mean, in the spirit of motivating me to be an organ donor, honestly, I mean...
Dan now gets, instead of 2 points the last round, Dan now gets 5. I'm updating the score. You just did that to yourself, Tony. Tony got 0 points for this round.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You signed up to be an organ donor, or you donated an organ in the intervening time?
No, I signed up. It's real easy, at least in the state of Massachusetts. I went to the RMV website, and it's like 2 clicks, and, you know, they just need your, you know, they need to know who you are. That makes sense.
Erica, if you could put some skates on right now, I could have an extra point. Yeah.
There are some within reach.
Shelly, go to the store and buy some alcohol already.
As a reward, as your reward for your magnanimity, given that I'm giving Dan 5 points retroactively, I'm going to give you 2 in this, even though you were entirely wrong, because you're donating your organs. Okay.
Sure.
You should know, Tony, that at our previously in previous times when we did do in person our MIT mystery hunt, your partner and I both enjoy the kettle corn quite extensively.
Yes, I know that. I guess I just over. I mean, I knew you like popcorn. I've seen you eat popcorn many times.
Well, how many times? What are you doing? Standing outside my window waiting for me to eat popcorn? This is getting weird.
Yeah, well, you know
it's
who you are.
Boring during pandemic, so people That's do crazy fair. Things.
Yeah.
Okay, so next up it's Kathy's turn, and Kathy will be defending or making a statement about Erica. Kathy, I know if they made a movie about your life, Erica, you'd want blank to play you.
Oh, God.
Oh.
That's a good one.
I'm just going to agree with whatever Kathy says, as long as it's not somebody I hate.
I know, that's the hard part, though, is that...
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Comes down.
Daniel Day-Lewis. It's extremely method.
Right?
And it's a chameleon.
Well, it's not going to be Jared Leto.
Oh, God. Yeah, okay. Mm. So, look, that's basically the... That's the curve that I will be grading you on personally, Kathy. So, you know, just keep that.
Let's go. You know, I think I'm going to say Anne Hathaway.
Oh, wow. I feel like you think way higher of me than I do of myself,
which is not how it should be, but acceptable, because I think you are gorgeous. And I think Anne Hathaway would be an amazing you.
It's who you'd want. So, like, I would like Anthony Hopkins to play me. So there you go. So I think it's okay, you know, as long as it's somebody you'd want, not somebody.
But what is Anthony Hopkins?
He's not here.
He's settled down in Wales.
He's welcome to come on the next show.
It took me this long to even come up with something that I would say. I feel like I would be very happy to have Anne Hathaway play me. I think my pick would be Emma Thompson.
Good choice.
Nice. A very good choice.
I'm giving Kathy a 4 because the wasn't exactly right, but it was very well appreciated. So I think that's acceptable.
I'll take it.
Take it. Erica, now you have to answer or make this statement about Shelley.
Okay.
A little more open-ended. I know you are generous to blank.
A fault.
Short and sweet. I like the pithiness.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean...
Shelley, how generous are you? Are you generous to a fault?
I mean,
just
say
yes.
Yes, that's right. Dangling out there.
Sure.
Shelley, how would you rate your generosity on a scale from not to a fault to a fault?
To a fault. Yeah, I feel like there are only a couple of choices there.
That's another weird question. I didn't know if I'm supposed to say
it is
like,
a weird
this
question.
Group of like you
or
know,
noun.
Orphans. She's generous
to
animals,
to puppies.
Right.
Yeah.
Kittens, yes. Puppies, no.
Radio listeners, how about that?
Yes, absolutely. To radio, no. Actually, no. Never mind. I'm not. Gonna I was going to say something to the effect that every once in a while they email me and I'm like, stop it. But anyways, I mean, how can I say no? Because if I say no, not only will Erica not get points, but I'll also look like a creep.
Exactly. That seems so, pretty generous.
I'm generous to a fault. Generous. I care about Erica's points, so yes, I'm generous to a fault.
All right, 5
Good
points.
Answer.
5 points. The scoring on this game is all over the board. It's from 4 to 5 points, mostly, except Tony, who got 2. Actually,
didn't I get 0
one
time?
2 because you were so, because you became an organ donor. How can I give an organ donor 0 points? That seems...
All right. It's confusing about which round I earned those points in.
I just love how whenever you say organ, you are saying Oregon.
Organ donor. Organ donor. I had to correct my children pronouncing Oregon the other night. They were saying Oregon, and that was not acceptable.
How dare they?
They are children of the Pacific Northwest.
Washington.
I'm more of an origami.
Washington. Yeah.
I am so disappointed in your kids, Glenn.
Well, they know now. They know now. So, Shelley, this is back on the question, I think, of organ donations. I'm not sure, but Shelley, here's a statement to make about Tony. Shelley, about Tony, I know you don't have a scar. Now, let me follow this up by saying, you can pass on this question and I'll pick a different one.
I was going to say, I think I'd like to either pass or phone a friend.
Yeah, you can figure this out based on information that is getting even on this show.
It was so perfect that we have to pass on. All right, here's a better one. Here's a better one. Let's do for this circumstance. So, Shelley.
Do people want to know canonically?
I mean, the answer is clearly yes. He already described his ACL replacement, guys.
I guess there would be a scar for that. I hadn't.
Collect them all.
So now that we have scar knowledge, previous scar knowledge, Shelley, here's a statement about Tony to defend or deny. I know you don't like parades. I think that's a little bit easier to work on with.
It is a little bit easier to work on. I still run the risk of being wrong. I'm just thinking about a guy who spends his free time as a dungeon master.
Dungeons and Dragons type of dungeon master. I want to make it clear what services I do and don't provide.
I appreciate that, and I will confess that every time I hear Dan and Micah on Clockwise just refer to one another as dungeon buddies,
there's a whole joke about that because the popular podcast Dragon Friends, they literally have like a line in their theme song where they say, because dungeon friends would mean a different thing.
It is a guess, but I'm gonna basically apply stereotypes and apply what little I know about Tony's dungeon mastering activities in D&D, and I'm gonna say no on parades.
Yeah, I think I'd have to agree with that. There's probably the only parade I kind of enjoy is we have in Somerville once a year. They have the Honk Festival, which is the most ridiculous hipster thing ever. It is a festival of activist brass bands, and they have a parade where all the brass bands parade from Somerville to Cambridge.
Blast. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Oh no. True. It's they're cool.
That's amazing.
It's great. And they have a giant parade of like, I don't know, 15 or 20 brass bands, and they're like spaced out so that the like songs ebb from one to another, and it's really cool, and it's also not super crowded, because I would say in general I'm anti things that have crowds, parades, circuses.
Don't give away answers for future ones.
Yeah.
Who knows what else is
going to
happen.
Parades, I rain upon them.
Also, I have to say, you know, Boston, we have our big St. Patrick's Day parade, which is not a great scene here in Boston.
Nope.
Yep.
Better than Santa Con, though, right?
Do people buy alcohol before that?
And donate it back to the street. I'm just saying that is immediately where you say parade, and I immediately think vomit. So that's how my brain works, everybody.
All right, Shelley gets 5 points for that, and we're at the end of round two. And perhaps this time I'll recap scores in some kind of order. How about that? Dan is leading with 10 points with his shocking comeback from Tony having selflessly donated his organs while on the show.
Dan, I did it for you and presumably somebody else.
Yeah.
And a recipient to be named later.
Sorry, I've lost it.
Much later.
Eric and Shelley are tied in second at 9 points. Kathy with 8. And Tony, our organ donor, at 7 points. This is unjust. I don't know what's going on here.
That's life.
Travesty. Who's running this thing? Round three. Dan, this is a question that came up. You'll be talking to Erica about this, and it's kind of perfect, but it came up this, so I'm going to use it because it's so good. I know if you wrote fan fiction, it would be about blank. Totally randomly appeared. It was the next question, I swear.
Wow. Okay. Well, I think I... If you wrote fan fiction. I actually have two answers here, and I'm not sure which one I like better. Because, like, there is one that feels very obvious, but at the same time, it maybe feels a little too obvious. And I'm just not sure which one to go with. But I guess, you know, this the rules to this game are flexible.
They're pretty
flexible.
That's
true. Say them both. And
I'll say them both. Because, like, yeah. I mean, you know, the obvious choice would be Doctor Who, right? You know, because of Erica's fandom in Doctor Who. That makes sense, right? But also part of my head, I feel like Winona Earp would probably enter into there. Like, in some ways, maybe that seems like maybe it's more fun to write fan fiction about.
I guess, you know, if you want to get, like, I am not a fanficker. I have never written anything for AO3, but I have written essays and pieces for several, like, essay collections about Doctor Who and Star Trek. Mm-hmm. And technically, I think the first or the second one that I wrote for Doctor Who could technically be considered fan fiction. So
I was gonna say, aren't those like fan non-fiction?
Yeah, well, some of them are, but two of them are actually more like in-world fanfic type pieces. Mm-hmm. One for Doctor Who and one for Star Trek. So technically, I guess I have written Doctor Who fanfic. I'm not drawn to writing fanfic about much of anything. Although I do have to say, if I had to write fanfic about something else, it probably wouldn't be Wynonna Earp. It would be the Sinbaggers.
That's a great choice. Mm. Oh, I wouldn't even thought of that.
British, yeah. Oh. Remember, listeners, if you're ever embarrassed about writing fanfic, just call it a spec script, and old people can't tell the difference.
That's true. Also, don't be embarrassed about writing a fanfic, because it's great.
Well, you know.
I don't think I can give zero there, because Erica has, in fact, written something that falls in
love. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I feel like he deserves lots of points for that, because that was the very first fanfic I ever wrote.
All right. Well, when pressed, you said you'd write it about something entirely differently if you were to write it.
But so, she did write it, so it doesn't matter.
But she did write it already, so I vote 5
This is not a democracy, as I tell my children every day of their lives.
I do want to now read, Erica, I think the Sandbaggers, first of all, it deserves a continuation, because it ends essentially on a cliffhanger. And I think it deserves to be continued, and I vote for you to be a person to continue it. So that, I don't know with whom I'm voting here, but...
Dan, are you just voting for the Sandbaggers? Is that what you did?
Yourself, basically. All right, I'm going to award 3 points in the interest of not making anyone happy.
Great. Nailed it.
Succeeded.
Okay, Tony. Tony.
Oh.
Good one.
That's me.
This is you. Tony S. That's where you only use initials here. Tony S., this is for you to discuss with or about Shelley. I know you secretly hate blank.
Well, if it's secret, I'm allowed to talk about it.
Tony, we talked about this.
Secretly. This is challenging for me, because I don't secretly hate anything. I'm pretty vocal about the things
I hate. Oh my God, is it me? Does she hate me?
Erica, aww. This is an intervention. I'm sorry.
Every game shows an intervention.
Let's see. What does Shelley secretly hate?
Well, she couldn't have discussed it. That's the problem, right? I know.
Well, I mean, I guess, or it's only been,
I mean,
it's been discussed
in confidence.
Is it a secret
if it's just on a podcast with a few friends?
Yeah. Yeah, just between us friends.
No one else is listening.
You know what? I don't know if this is probably not a great answer, but I'm going to take a stab. I think, and I don't know what secret this is, I think Shelley secretly hates coworkers who are thoughtless. Is thoughtless the right word? I'm thinking as a synonym for inconsiderate. That's I don't know how secret it is.
I was going to say secretly in the sense that I haven't shared it with the people that are involved.
Yes.
Secretly in the sense that I do feel the end of the secrecy is that I share it with my friends whether they want to know or not. So yes, I am not a fan of the thoughtless coworkers.
What came to mind for you, to the extent you're willing to disclose it on a public podcast, for the question, a thing that you secretly hate?
Extraneous noise, people not realizing that perhaps others are trying to work quietly.
Interesting. I'm sorry, I've been cutting my toenails during this entire episode. I'll stop now.
Extraneous noise is my middle name.
Yes. It's my punk band, so there you go.
Tony, I think it's 5 points for that. That feels pretty dead on to the...
I feel like 4 is probably about right.
All right, Tony gets 4 points. I'll let you talk yourself down if you want. Sure. Hi, Kathy. Hey, if you were thinking about Tony, for some reason, possibly in a game show, this statement could be completed in what fashion? I know if you dedicated your life to one cause, it would be blank.
Oh, gosh, was I supposed to dedicate my life to something? I didn't know there was homework for this.
Tony has to dramatically transform his life.
Well, I mean, he's already become a donor,
first,
so now what?
Right?
I feel like there's so much growth happening for Tony today.
Too much growth.
The episode that Tony grows.
Mm. Oh, no, it's a reverse intervention.
I am going to say, like, Tony would dedicate his life to providing D&D to the masses.
What was the exact phrasing of the question?
If you dedicated your life to one cause, it would be blank.
What if I've already accidentally dedicated my life to something?
Did you make a deal with the devil?
Insurrection? We don't know that. Is that what you secretly...
If I was dedicated to my life to insurrection, you would know,
I know
sir.
I secretly hate democracy.
Whoa.
And yet he's an organ donor.
He's an organ donor. This is very confusing. So what do you think, Tony?
I don't know. You know, there are two sides to Tony. There is Tony, the dungeon master who just wants to provide Dungeons & Dragons for everyone and make the world a better place. I certainly have dedicated a significant number of hours of my life to dungeon mastering. I think having run 3 sessions this week and having a 4th scheduled for tomorrow, mistakes were made. But, you know, I guess the thing that came to mind for me was dedicating my life to education, because that is what I do. I work in higher education. Aww. I always have. It may have been a mistake when you look at my earnings. I don't know. That's a thing I feel important. I feel strongly about is trying to make the world better through education in a variety of forms.
Such as Dungeons and Dragons, which is, if nothing, not a form of education, basically.
That sounds like 0 points for Kathy.
Sorry, Kathy. And I will say there is, I think I've probably talked about it before, there's a pretty fun overlap and connection between dungeon mastering and teaching. So they are not unrelated things. They are adjacent things in the Tony brain space.
Sounds like that deserves some points.
I don't know. All right, 3 points to Kathy, because that's like education. So next up is Erica discussing attributes of Kathy. And I'm going to skip this question, but I will read it because I know one of your favorite books is blank. And I think that might be too straightforward.
Oh, man.
I know. This is, but here's a good one for you too, which is Erica about Kathy. I know you feel connected to blank.
No, the internet?
Heavens forbid.
Connected to. Boy, I keep getting these ones that are just absolutely wide open and...
So there's no wrong answer.
Yeah. You know what? I think I'm going to stick with that. I'm going to say that Kathy feels connected to her online community. So not just the Incomparable hosts, but also the Relay FM hosts. Like those online, like Slack, Discord hosts, listeners, those communities.
That would be 100% correct. Abso-frickin-lutely.
All right, 5 points.
Yay!
Well, some of these rounds take 10 minutes. Some of them take 10 seconds. It's very interesting how they happens. Here's a question. Shelley, it's you're up, and it's your target audience to discuss is Dan. Shelley, about Dan, I know you wouldn't go on a reality show.
You want to maybe say that's wouldn't, right?
Yeah. Would or wouldn't.
Would or wouldn't.
Would
I know you wouldn't. And the piece of wood you carry around wouldn't go...
I know your log and you. No, you would right. Or wouldn't go on a reality
and,
show.
And I assume that we're saying that podcasts, particularly game shows, are not reality shows because this is all a performance that we give, I think.
This is reality.
But it's not... And it is a show. Oh, dear. I'm going to say... No, because I just feel like Dan would want to be more control of what he was putting out there and not be at the whim of
the editor,
producers, and other terrible humans who don't have his best interests at heart.
Ooh.
That's a pretty good answer, actually. I mean, I think for the most part, considering what we consider like most reality shows to be, I really don't watch any reality TV. The exception would be like the Great British Bake Off, but I don't think I'd want to be on it because it seems too stressful to me.
You do like game shows,
yeah.
Dan,
that was
so
the one
have to be.
I don't know if that's is that a reality show? Is like Jeopardy or something? I mean, Glenn,
it's more of a game show.
A game show, I'd say that's different from a reality show.
Is Jeopardy a reality show? It's sort of like, well,
it's not,
I mean,
really,
they don't edit,
reality,
they don't
right?
edit it.
It's not. It doesn't even purport to be reality. It's heightened circumstances. I don't know.
Because the producers create the structure. I mean, I know in reality shows they do too, but everything about Jeopardy is controlled by the producers.
Exactly.
And all the rules are controlled by the producers.
I think I would agree. I think I would say Shelley's answer is spot on. I don't want to be in that position, not only because I don't want to know how they're going to make me look, but also just because I find them uncomfortable and exploitative, mostly. I went to a tryout for a reality show with a friend who was doing a PhD, and it was super weird. I just say that. It was...
Dan, do you want to say what reality show that was?
Fairly short-lived, I think. Beauty and the Geek.
Oh, yeah.
Because my friend was writing his dissertation on geek culture. And
was that partially a dating thing? Okay.
And I remember I ended up sort of, as he was like interviewing and schmoozing, I sat around with some of the prospective contestants and like, boy, it was like, I mean, just telling, like, I felt bad for them, not in a pitying way, but like one of them was like, this is like the most extroverted thing I've done. Like, I haven't like left my parents' basement in like a year or something. And I was like, and I hate the feeling of what they're going to do to you is the problem. Like, that's the thing I worried about. It's like, I don't feel like they're going to treat these people well.
Dan, real-time Wikipedia update. It ran for 5 seasons, 48 episodes.
Holy crap. Whoa.
Yeah, I mean, keep in mind, reality television, 5 seasons, they could have produced that, like, in a, you know,
a year, yeah. Sure.
In a month, you know, but yeah.
Anyway, so Shelley gets my
phone. Executive producer, your friend and mine, Ashton Kutcher, so.
Our great friend.
Interesting. That was an easy 5-point answer then. And at the end of round three, we have... in order of highest score to lowest score to provide some structure. Erica and Shelley are tied at 14, Dan at 13, Tony, organ donor Tony, and Kathy both at 11. So not many points separating people. This last round, let's do one more round. This will decide the winner of, I don't know what the outcome of this is supposed to be, but you know, we've learned things and Tony's now an organ donor, so we've had some progress here. Tony's life has improved, I think, as the episode's gone on.
Well,
somebody's life has gone on. That's right. Not Tony's, right. Okay, so here's next up we have Dan.
Yes.
You're going to be talking to Shelley about her preferences. I know you'd prefer to be a vampire or werewolf.
Wow.
I like that one.
That's a good one.
Boy, that's a great question.
That is way better than the, like, would you rather have flight or invisibility question.
That is a good question.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. I'm going to take a stab, and this is, I'm going with what I think. All right, so I'm going to guess werewolf, and my rationale is, one.
It's a classic dog person, cat person
dichotomy. Well, I think one of it is that, like, it's a thing that only impacts you some of the time, right? Because, like, full moon. Mm-hmm. So there's like a minimal disruption on your overall life. And also, I feel like Shelley is a connoisseur of good food and taking garlic off the menu would just be too much. That's what I'm thinking. You don't want to have to just sit around and eat blood. Like, that's gross, man. I think, like, you know, at least if you're a werewolf, you can still enjoy a fine range of cuisine and something that only afflicts you every once in a while. And, you know, there you go. That's my rationale.
So Dan's answer is very good, particularly because I'd never thought of this before. And so I just had to come up with reasons for the choice I made. And I did choose werewolf. Dan's first answer is spot on. It affects you once a month. You know when it's going to happen. You can prepare yourself for what needs to be changed about your life. And the blood thing and the vampire, sourcing blood is going to require violence or engaging in a lot of relationships that I'm just...
It's just called capitalism.
Well, do you know what I do for a living? I work in the public sector. I mean, capitalism is not something I'm good at. So yeah, I feel like werewolf is much more predictable. Vampire, although some of the aesthetics might be interesting, and I could probably get into that. The whole sourcing blood thing is just too much trouble for me.
I think that I had a lot of questions about which mythology it came from, because, for example, some vampire mythologies, they depict it as, like, the vampire literally can't eat anything except blood. In What We Do in the Shadows, if a vampire accidentally eats human food, they... why do I keep mentioning vomit? They vomit profusely.
I was going to ask you why you were bringing this up, but this is an upcoming question, Tony.
Yeah.
I think that's a 5-pointer. Easy 5-pointer. Tony, on the subject of
vomit
fluids, I'm not going to ask this question. Your counterpart here is Erica, but I just thought this was a fascinating one in the game. I know you do or don't bruise easily, and I was like, what is the... It's, you know. All right, so we're going to skip that one in favor of this one. However, Tony and Erica, I'm going to give you the chance to not pick this one, and I'll do another. I think it's very interesting, but it might be too real. I know you think blank is an example of cultural appropriation.
I don't want to do that one.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a good question among people who want to have...
It is, but not for a fun game show.
No, exactly.
Right.
Yeah, that's, you know, death is a...
How do you want to die?
Oh, here. Okay, so let's try this one then.
What's your favorite cookie?
Tony of Erica, I know you think blank is overrated.
Ooh. Mm. Oh, Erica thinks a lot of things are overrated. And she is correct. What is going to come to the top of Erica's mind for overrated?
I'll have to do this on a grading scale.
Even it's Erica like doesn't know yet. Yeah.
Well, you're thinking, though, what are some things that Erica thinks is overrated?
You're allowed to talk it through. It is an audio format.
No, I'm just, all right. Well, so, sorry. Yeah, I know that's bad, bad
otherwise,
podcasting.
Otherwise, Glenn has to edit.
Tony's hit his caffeine crash.
Yes, I am now, I have gone up the roller coaster and down.
Yeah, there's a roller coaster.
Well, I think there's a bunch of TV shows that Erica thinks are overrated. I'm blanking on what they are specifically beyond the general genre of not Doctor Who. And Winona Earp.
Quite a few things Erica thinks are overrated.
Yeah. non-hockey sports. And even Erica has a pretty select, I think, set of hockey teams that are considered acceptable. For example, I believe the Boston Bruins might fit under the category of overrated. I think, you know, Erica is also someone who uses a lot of technology and has distinctive tastes around technology and is forced to podcast from a room with an Apple computer, possibly using one right now, that Erica would deem overrated. What else does Erica think is overrated? America comes to mind? No.
Oh, Canada.
I'm here for the Friars Club roast of Erica.
Sorry. I don't want to get you in trouble. I don't want to get you in trouble at the border. This is not a roast of Erica. This is a roast of things that Erica has legitimate feelings about. What Dan? Will you speak for the Boston Bruins? Is that what you come here for? Other things, though. I think Apple computers comes to mind first and foremost as a thing that is in Erica's house that Erica herself is not a fan of.
Erica, where do you place Apple computers? Show me Apple computers.
Show me Apple computers.
Let me preface this by saying that I do think a lot of things are generally overrated, but I don't like to specifically say, you know, this thing that you like, you know, to one person is overrated, because everybody's feelings are valid. So it's fine if you rate these things highly.
Erica, you rarely say to somebody, you suck. It is a pretty rare trait. Not really an Erica thing.
Yeah. So I do think, though, that yes, Apple computers is definitely of all of the things. Like, as Tony was talking, I was trying to think of, like, I thought of some very specific things, like the Toronto Maple Leafs and
which I believe are a hockey team. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Okay. Yep. I'd said the first book in the Dune series.
Yep, that for sure. The tenth Doctor's era of Doctor Who, which I love, but overrated.
That's 5 points. 5 points on the board for Tony. Let's move on to the next participant, Kathy. This is a statement for Dan. I'm going to skip this one, but I do want to read it because it's our first death question. I know one thing you want to do before you die is blank.
I want to argue, you know, because obviously that's apparently what I do. But I would argue to say that organ donation is also a death question.
First death question.
Oh,
yeah. Well, but implicit. Please continue.
An organ without dying.
I think this is a good one. Number. Good one, Kathy. Related to Dan. Kathy, I know most people don't know you used to do blank for money.
Glenn, we promised we wouldn't talk about this.
I know. I'm sorry, Glenn. I'm going to have to plead the fifth for this question because it's not appropriate for this podcast network.
All right. Let's move on to...
I would have to do the same thing.
Yeah, that's good. No, you're discussing Dan, not yourself.
I know.
Oh, no. All right. Then we have to move on.
Whoa.
All right.
No, I'm just kidding. Could I hear the question again?
Do you want me to list some of the things that I've known Dan's done for money?
I know most people don't know you used to do blank for money.
Paraphrase Meatloaf. I do anything for money, but I won't do that.
Right. Won't do that. The hard thing is I think like pretty much everything that I know you've done for money, you still do. So it's not really a secret?
But that's still, yeah, he still did it once. He's just also doing it again.
Only
it's
once.
True. It's true.
Let me just help you out as season control of this podcast, yes. As I want to do. You could almost imagine rephrasing this as, what kind of jobs did Dan have in high school or college?
That's fair.
Right?
Or even after.
Danner, you're a recent graduate.
Organ donation fulfillment officer.
I think. Yeah, I've been out of school for a reasonable amount of time, which is I'm not going to disclose that one.
I'm going to choose to promote Dan in this question because I can't think of a funny other answer. So instead, I'm going to say write books and then direct everyone to the incredible series of books that he writes and pre-order the third one, right? The third one's ready for pre-order.
Is that
isn't a fourth?
Don't worry about the numbers.
Confusing?
Yeah.
Depends on the publisher.
The newest book, the next book. Is available. Yes, the next book is available for pre-order.
It's really good.
Where should people go to read that?
To order it.
Incident. We really seized control of this. I like it. We're taking the means of production.
Yep.
Enjoy this because you're not getting any points.
You're not scorekeeping, Tony. You keep forgetting.
Go to bookstores everywhere.
Go to bookstores everywhere. There'll be notes in the show notes for fine products by panelists everywhere, including the Nova Incident.
I hope everybody's books get a chance to be in the show notes.
Yeah. Just have all right, a show.
Dan, now tell us the most unlikely thing you've done for money.
Oh, man.
Dan, I can think of a funny story about something you've done for money. No, not in a bad way. Just an amusing anecdote.
Yeah.
Dan, this is not a story that makes Dan sound bad in any way. Dan, you'll have to confirm the details. I believe, for money, you delivered books to a future Supreme Court justice.
That is true.
Or fixed their computer, something
that
like that.
No, that's one of those. I delivered books. One of my jobs, I worked many different jobs at the Harvard Law Library when I was in high school and college. One of those was working for a department where essentially I went around to different faculty offices and like dropped off books they had requested. And that included Elena Kagan. As well as, I think, I want to say Elizabeth Warren, too, possibly.
She would have been a law professor at that time, so it's just a question of did she order any books that summer?
There were several famous people who I, like, who are now, you know, even more famous, who I delivered books to. The other one would have been, I was employed for a long time as a person who fixed computers, a lot of Windows computers, a lot of printers.
Yeah, but that wouldn't surprise anyone,
probably
Dan.
Not.
Kathy, I think you get 2 kindness points, but not... Not real.
You know what? I'm okay with pity points. It's fine.
They're apparently equivalent to all of my work.
Five ghost points in my heart.
All right, we're getting down to the nubbins here. Two more people in this round, and that's the end of the game. Erica.
Oh boy.
This is speaking to Tony.
Oh boy.
Erica, I know you're calm or panicky in stressful situations. Calm or panicky. And stressful. I can't even say it's so stressful to say stressful situations.
I don't know that. Like,
you've got a lot of D&D with
Tony.
Not
sure I've ever seen Tony in an actually stressful situation. Like, there's D&D stressful situations, but I'm gonna say that I'm gonna guess, and this is totally a guess, that Tony is the kind of person who it can get panicky in some situations, but when it's really actually stressful and it's really actually a crisis, Tony is calm, cool, and collected, and is able to handle like the big stuff, but actually panics at the little stuff. That's my guess.
I'm going to put an asterisk in this and say it depends on how much coffee he's had.
Yeah. And how many organs he's donated.
And whether or not it involves signs in garages.
Oh, God. Hey, statute of limitations. I think, unfortunately, I'm pretty panicky. I think, you know, my counter strategy to being panicky in stressful situations is to overplan to avoid them as much as possible. But yeah, I don't know, Dan. You can evaluate me as a third party. I think I'm pretty bad at stress and go to areas of panic/anxiety pretty quickly.
I mean. That doesn't sound inaccurate.
Yeah. Thank you, Dan.
All right, Erica, I'm sorry. No.
I know who I am.
No point for Erica. I'm sorry, but that's the way this cruel game is played. Shelley.
I appreciate, Erica, that you gave me credit that I did not deserve.
Shelley, this is the final question of the game. and addressed to Kathy, and I'm not going to give you this one, but it came up, so I thought it was perfect, and it's been previously established. I know a Scream name you've used online is blank. I think we will be bypassing that for the ease of answering all the questions. So instead, Shelley, about Kathy, I know if you made a movie, it would be about...
I don't know. I have a couple of answers that I think are pretty good.
I'll be the judge of that.
Of course you will, Kathy. Of course you will. I love argumentative Kathy in game shows. She's so nice in other podcasts, but in the game shows, Kathy will cut you.
Yes.
I'm going to say if Kathy were to make a movie, it would be a movie about royalty at Christmas.
Royalty or loyalty?
Royalty. Well, I'm specifically referencing all the Christmas prints in various movies. To be more detailed about it, I would say that Kathy would have particular attention to the fashion and to the set decoration, and that her profound desire to make it either accurate or to meet her own aesthetic would be what would identify the movie very much as her own. And Kathy would be hardcore and would make it wonderful from a very Kathy Campbell unicorn perspective.
That's a fantastic answer. I think that I would actually say no, not even close, because the perfect movies already exist. Oh, wow. I could not replace...
Can I change my answer to Wheel of Time?
You're thinking of Frankenstein Island, of course.
I think, Shelley, that you should get a couple points, though, because I would love to do a romance movie.
I see.
That would be fantastic, and it would be amazing, and the fashion would be impeccable. The continuity would be perfect, and there would be no on-camera flashes by photographers at any point in the film. But I would not do royalty at Christmas, because nothing can replace either the Christmas switch or the Christmas prints. Oh, sorry.
I can only give that one point, I think, because you gave it a definitive no, and then you said maybe. So I don't think it can get a...
I think 2 points. Oh. 2 points would be a good... Because the genre of movie was correct.
But no royalty.
But, I mean, I'll throw royalty, but it won't be royalty at Christmas.
Okay, I'll give it 2 points. And after 4 rounds, we have some final results in which, during the entire period of play, everyone has had to make a statement, defend it, or discuss one other person also in the game. So it's been a complete run, and the winner of this game... Well, I should start at the lowest. We'll go that way so we can have the winner be the secret, I guess. I don't know. Kathy with 13, Erica with 14, Shelley and Tony both with 16, and Dan pushed over the top by Tony's selfless desire to join the Morgans in the future. Dan, congratulations.
Wow, really threw that in my favor. Thank you.
On your victory and Tony's organs.
Thank you to Tony's future organ recipient.
Please treat them well.
Do I get Tony's organs as a result of this? Is that what's happening?
That's the winner of this game. Dan, you now get to pick.
That was high
stakes.
You get
to pick who gets Tony's organs as a result of winning. Oh, thank you all for playing. Thank you, Shelley, Kathy, Erica, Dan, and Tony for being part of this ridiculous nonsense. And thank you to Amy Bayo for making this game. You can get your own copy of this game of You Think You Know Me or one of her other 3 games at pinktigergames.com. That's pinktigergames.com. There'll be a link in the show notes.
And there will also be links to all of the books that everyone has written.
Whether they were mentioned or not.
All the books, food and parades, mentioned in this podcast, how you too can become an organ donor in your state or country. Thanks, folks. Thanks for listening. And we'll be back in the near future with another episode of Game Show.
Tony's organs, free to a good home.